Monday Night History. In 1923, the Victorian police force went on strike. I know, they just downed tools. The result was absolute chaos on the streets of Melbourne as people, some people, took advantage of the lack of police to loot and steal and generally create mayhem. And there were deaths. The one we're focusing on tonight is that of 22-year-old Victor Clarence Pearce, who was swept up in the violence. Chris Adams is one of the authors of the Grave Tale series of books, which we often feature on Nightlife, and the books tell the stories of the sometime forgotten Australians buried in our cemeteries. This latest instalment of Grave Tales focuses on Melbourne, and Chris joins us now to tell us how Victor Clarence Pearce had his life brought to an early end by the events of 1923. Chris, good evening, and welcome back to Nightlife.
Thanks, Philip. Good to be here again. And this is a story that we called On Violent Streets, and it really exposed the ugly underbelly of the city of Melbourne when the police went on strike in 1923. Mm. Like many of these situations, the strike was over working conditions and pay. But on top of this, they loathed the system of supervision that had been imposed on them. They argued that, look, we put our lives on the line to protect the property of the people of Melbourne, and yet we are not even trusted, because they had officers who went out in plain clothes who reported on the activities of police on the streets of Melbourne. And they hated it, and they wanted it to go. Now, the story of Victor Pearce happens in the middle of this strike that took place. And by that point, the place had turned into bedlam. Mm. I mean, the rioting looting.
So police actually were just down tools, did they?
Yeah, it happened one night, Wednesday night, 31st of October. The police who were due to go on duty at 10 o'clock at night failed to show up for their parade, prior to being sent out that night. Their sergeant, when he inquired as to where they were, was bluntly told they'd had enough of the spooks, as they called their plainclothes supervisors, and they were on strike. That night, the city of Melbourne would have no police, even after the police recruits were called in to take the place of the strikers. They too promptly walked out. There were hurried negotiations with the government, the police employer. The promise was given that when the men went back to work, the supervisors would be withdrawn. At that news, the police began to parade again at 1 o'clock in the morning on the Thursday morning in preparation for their return to work. But later that day, there was a special cabinet meeting called, and the police commissioner put his view that the supervisors had to stay. And it was decided that the attitude of the men was tantamount to mutiny, and that they must return to duty unconditionally. So that was the situation that led to this ongoing strike, which ended up with about 460 police fired and never to be rehired again.
Wow. How long did it take before word of the police strike spread?
Well, not long, obviously, because it wasn't long before numbers of people came into the city from the suburbs of Melbourne and started this descent into anarchy, if you like. The first hint of the looting and what was likely to happen came down at the old coal store market, coal store building, which was the fish market. Police noticed a couple of blokes heading off with four cartons of butter that they decided they would have. And when stopped by the police, they said they were tempted to their act by the absence of police protection, a line that the police would hear too often. But that, what you might call minor looting, grew into wanton robbery, described by the press. The people involved hooligans, 80 more or so of them helped themselves to jewellery and clothes from shops in Bourke Street. And this was not long after, this was the night after the police had failed to turn up for work. There were still some police on duty. Not all the police went out. Some fought with the looters until nearly midnight on that night, but there weren't enough police around to stop what was going on. And some of the things were just horrible.
So on the afternoon of November the 3rd, 22-year-old Victor Pierce and his brothers Vivian and Edward visited a wine bar. Tell me what happened when they did.
Well, they'd been have an afternoon of playing snooker, probably billiards more than snooker, and drinking. And they were on their way home. The two brothers, Vivian and Victor, and a mate of theirs, Edward Wilson, decided to stop by a bar on their way home. This was a bar operated by a bloke called Robert Blair. It was about 6:15 in the evening on the Saturday, when, by law, drinking establishment had to be closed. 6 o'clock was the cut-off. You had to have people out of the building by 6:15, and everybody knows what the 15 minutes in between was called, the 6 o'clock swill, when they had that 15 minutes to finish off their drinks. Victor and Edward weren't new to trouble. Victor had been previously charged with assault. Edward had been charged for larceny and offensive behaviour. But they wanted that bottle of wine, and Vivian recalls his brother saying, "You can't get it unless you go to the back door." So they approached the bar by the back lane. Blair was suspicious of their motives, and he told them that he couldn't supply them with drinks as it was after 6 o'clock, and he asked them to leave or he'd call the police. They replied that there were no police to call, and Victor climbed over the back fence. Mrs. Anne Blair, who was in the yard with the children, told them to go away, and they didn't. Blair was now getting pretty hot under the collar, as you can imagine, on account of the bearing of the visitors who'd been drinking during the afternoon, so he pulled a gun. He hit Victor over the head with it, and he fired. Sorry, he hit Edward over the head with it and fired a shot, which hit Victor in the stomach. He was taken taken to a stable, which was part of this pub area, where he was left while they waited for an ambulance to turn up. And so he had 15 minutes there. Both of these men ended up at the Alfred Hospital. Victor lasted through the night, but he died the next day. So that was the situation in regard to Victor Pierce, one of the victims, at least three we know of, who died during the police strike.
Yeah. Was the proprietor, Robert Blair, charged over the shooting?
Yeah, he was. He was charged with... Stand by. Sorry, mate. Just lost it. lost my spot. Sorry, mate. I'm trying to find what he was charged with.
That's okay. We can.
Yeah, you can cut all this out, obviously. Okay. Yeah, he was. He was subsequently committed for trial on a manslaughter charge. When it came to court, the Crown prosecutor told the court that he decided that a nolle prosequi. In other words, to be unwilling to pursue this matter, the case against Robert Blair went no further. The reasons for this not known, but you can imagine that a mob rioting caused ordinary men and women to act to protect themselves and their property, as Robert Blair did on that night, much to the peril of Victor Pierce.
Mm. How long did the rioting continue for? I mean, I imagine, because I mean, the Melbourne Cup was on the first Tuesday, the city must have been full.
Yeah, it was. Well, I mean, it was overflowing with visitors because of the Melbourne Cup, and so there were a whole lot more people in the centre of the city than there might normally be. It went for a couple of days, at least, in this terrible looting phase, but then calmed down from there. They had an inquiry later on. Sir John Monash led the inquiry. And he found that the only demand from the original 30 police who went on strike was the removal of the spooks, but because of bad communication, the whole descent into anarchy could have been prevented had there been some people talking to each other.
Mm. And the police who were dismissed, they never worked again, did they?
Not as police. No. Those 30 police officers were the first of 636 to be sacked, and as the government of the day said, never to be employed as police again, and they weren't.
Wow.
Yeah.
If you were to judge a winner out of all this, what was the police commissioner, was it?
Well, probably, although there were fairly quickly some changes made to pay and conditions for police and the way that they were supervised. They became reasonably happy with their conditions, and there was a much greater awareness of the situation that these men, the police, were in. The way they'd been supervised previously was changed as well.
Mm.
But the interesting part about this is just how quickly the town went from an orderly, normal community into this hotbed of looting and violence.
Yeah, I know. Well, it's a thin veneer of civilization, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the editorial writer for the Argus, 7th of November, 1923, wrote, "Few people would have believed that an orderly city could so rapidly be captured by its criminal and semi-criminal elements." So, you know, he got it about right.
Mm. Yeah, this affected the suburbs of Melbourne as well as the city, presumably, did it or not?
Yeah, well, it did spread to the suburbs. I mean, there was a tram stolen, I think, in Collingwood. The Victor Pearce case happened out of the city centre. That was in suburban Melbourne. It grew to the suburbs.
Mm-hmm. Where's the grave of Victor Pearce these days?
He's in Brighton Cemetery, he's there with his brother. The two Victors, are buried there together. It's not an easy grave to find. I suggest if you're going to have a look at it that you ask the office directions to try and find it. It's not that easy.
Mm. Yeah, fascinating story of the Victorian police strike back in 1923 and the things that happened, including the loss of Victor Pearce's life. All right, Chris, good to talk. Thank you.
Thanks, Philip. Cheers, mate.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.